now. Lord, we incline ourselves, not to our own understanding, but unto You. We ask that the Word of God would be more than just information. May it be inspiration, but may it be a divine impartation, a divine transfusion of life that would occur this night by the power of the Word and by the power of the Spirit. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. I have been teaching a series, and I'm just continuing right on. I certainly don't have time to go back and reiterate the points, but I'm on key number 8. And I'm going to give you that in a moment, and I hope you'll write it down just as I give it to you. You'll learn more when you take notes. But I began this whole conference by saying in 1968 or thereabouts, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in high school, I began a Christian pilgrimage. And many people started with me at the same time. I can remember some of my friends, some of my peers that accepted Christ. It wasn't but a few months later that some of those people fell by the wayside. Others, it may have been a year or two. And my testimony has not been where I backslid for years and rode with Hell's Angels and, you know, was in prison and chopped 10 people up or something like that, you know. Those people seem to draw a big crowd. But my testimony was I accepted the Lord, and pretty much I just kept walking with the Lord and growing stronger. Now, I'm not saying I was perfect. I've made mistakes. There are times in my life that I'm not proud of. I've had to repent, so please understand the balance of what I'm saying. But as I began to reflect, I said, Lord, what helped me? What were some of the keys? What were some of the landmarks in my life? Some of the nuggets, you know, some of those golden nuggets of truth that helped me stay stable. Thank God somebody got to me and began to disciple me. You know, it's one thing to accept Christ. It's another thing to become a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I accepted the Lord through a group some of you may be aware of called Young Life. I prayed the silent prayer. Man, if they had said walk the aisle that day, I don't believe I would have done it because I was there with the football team and, you know, the peer pressure and all that stuff. But hallelujah for the silent prayer. I prayed the silent prayer and Jesus came into my heart. Then a group called Campus Crusade got hold of me and they began to teach me and instruct me. I got in with some of the navigators, scripture memory and things like that. And so I began to get my foundation. And principle after principle, thing came along. And so what I've been doing in this conference is identifying those landmarks in my life, hoping that it would be meaningful to those of you that are hearing, that you might be stable and established as a Christian. How many of you want to be established believers? You know, it says in Colossians that you could be rooted and established. Rooted and established, like a big tree, not like a little weed that gets blown around. And most Christians are on what I call the Six Flag Great Scream Machine Christian experience. Wow! Whoa! Whoa! You know, and then whoa! You know, the upside down one. That's when all your money falls out, I guess. I don't know. Or when you throw up. I'm not trying to get anybody's stomach upset, you know. But it's sad to say that many Christians live that kind of life. And God's intent is for us to have the victory, for us to live a consistent, established, rooted, and built up type of walk. All right, my 8th key, my 8th most important key, and I have personalized this. I'm using the word my. You can write it any way you want. But my 8th most important key for victory is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's begin, if we could, with verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit all." Let me read it once again. "But the manifestation," would you say the word manifestation? Now, circle that word, mark it somehow in your Bible, because that is the crux of this evening's message. The manifestation, if you can ever begin to understand the concept of manifestation, then you can begin to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they should just become a natural, daily affair with the believer. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given not to the fivefold ministry only, not to Bible school graduates, not to those with Sunday school pens, but to every man, every woman, to profit." Would you say to profit? May I just elaborate on that? To benefit you, to help you, to establish you, to profit all. Now, I grew up in the Presbyterian Church, and you know, went down that route and went through catechism, went through water baptism and so forth. And I'm certainly not saying anything against the Presbyterians. Thank God we've got Presbyterians today that are evangelically inclined, that are walking with the Lord. I think the most of Dr. James Kennedy. Maybe you've seen him on television. But when I was going to the Presbyterian church here in Atlanta, and it probably was my fault, I really wasn't in the biggest seeking mode at that time, but really Christianity was just more or less a service you go to on Sunday. And I'd find myself in church, you'd say the Apostles' Creed, you'd stand up, sit down, do all the right stuff, get sprinkled, go through catechism, get your white Bible, and you're in. Hallelujah. But you know, I began to hear things like, don't hang around anybody who believes in speaking in tongues. Don't hang around anybody who believes in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We called those people, made fun of them, holy rollers, chandelier swingers, and I guess we do have them, amen. You know, we've got some of those chandeliers. But I was really inclined against the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was my bent. Well, it didn't help when some of the people who began to disciple me were the same inclination. And at that time, I don't know what Campus Crusade's policy is now, but they were not favorable toward the gifts of the Spirit as we understand the charisma gifts of the Spirit. Great organization. Thank God for Dr. Bill Bright. I thank God so much that they discipled me. And again, I'm not putting a reflection, I'm just telling you the absolute truth. I was told, watch out, don't hang around the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they'll hurt you. They make you go crazy. That's, you know, they send people the funny farm, put you in straight jackets. Oh yes, I had an aunt. There's always somebody in the crowd. Oh yes, I had an aunt, man. You know, she said Sean died and went crazy. And so you just kind of get, man, you just get spooked about this thing, you know, that watch out for this stuff. Well, it's divisive, Brother Peebles. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are divisive, so that's, you know, why you don't want to mess with them. Now let's look at what the Bible says. Everybody say the Bible, is the authority. Okay, so you could take anything. You could take salvation. I know some people that will take the sinner's prayer and buttonhole people and turn them off with that. So you can't just throw out the baby with the bathwater. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at what verse 7 says again. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Mark this, if you didn't do it earlier. To profit all. They're given to profit. God's gifts are His abilities. Would you write that in your notes? God's gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are God's abilities to help you. God's ability. Somebody says, well, I'll just take the character. Well, let's don't split it up like that. I want the character, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Certainly that is preeminent, the love, the joy, the peace, the lifestyle of Jesus. But, you know, just to be, I can be the sweetest, the kindest guy, and the devil can slap me all over the universe. Oh, hallelujah. Bam, slap me again. Bam. Oh, hallelujah. I want not only the character of Christ, I need the abilities of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gifts of the Spirit help us live on a level that is supernatural. See, in the natural, I tend to analyze. You tend to analyze things from our intellect. Well, okay, we're going to analyze this, we're going to dissect it, we're going to weigh it, you know, we're going to make choices. And certainly there's a degree to that. But I like this definition of supernatural. You may want to write this down if you've not ever had it. My definition of supernatural is God's super plus your natural. See, God intends for you to use your talents, your natural abilities, but let's not limit it to the natural. God's super plus your natural equals supernatural. And it says here, the manifestation of the Spirit. Well, I told you last night a little bit about my testimony. I hung around some people that believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I began to see a difference in their life. They worshiped the Lord in ways I'd never seen. Kind of like we, you know, did tonight. I mean, I can remember the first time I went to a meeting and people raised their hand. I thought, what is this, a deodorant test or something, you know? What's, you know, and tambourines, I mean, those absolutely unnerved me. But you know, I would see a sincerity, I would see a heart lifted to God that I hadn't seen, and that was what was drawing me. And so I began to be hungry. I said, Lord, I want everything You have for me. I don't care what other people say. I'd gotten to that point. Lord, I want what the Word says. I want what You have for me. But you know, I was under this misconception, and here's what I want to blow out of the water. This misconception that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are kind of up there somewhere. Oh God, send down the gifts, send down the power. Oh Lord, send some of them prophecies down on me. Oh Lord, let one of them tongues slap me upside the head. Lord, just send some of those gifts down. Not realizing the Bible says the manifestation. Everybody say manifestation. Now, put your hands up like this. Let's do a little sleight of hand illustration once again. Everybody, I know this will seem silly. Everybody do. Everybody say my right hand? Amen. Represents God's Spirit. Everybody say my left hand? Amen. Represents my human spirit. Now keep your hands there. Before Christ, that's the way you were. separated from God, separated from the Spirit. The moment you had faith in Christ, whether you walked the aisle in a Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, or a Roman Catholic church, a prayer group meeting, in your car, the moment you had faith in Christ, something wonderful happened. Now lace your fingers together. The Holy Spirit came inside you. At the very moment that you had faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit in all of His fullness came and sealed your spirit unto the day of redemption. You are what the Bible calls born again. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Now you can look in the mirror and you go, well, I don't look new. See, it's not talking about your physical. That will be taken care of in the resurrection. God will even make you look prettier in the resurrection. I believe that. Some of you ought to claim that. Amen. Some of us ought to say, hallelujah, I'll look better in the resurrection. God's, you know, right now we're in the process of our soul, that is our mind, being transformed. But God did something instantly at the moment of salvation. Our spirits went from the old to the new. The old man was crucified. The spirit nature now is alive unto God, joined forever to the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, thank God. Now, when you understand that, you're just one step away from understanding manifestation. Everybody say manifestation.
Manifestation.
Ah, in there lies the key to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not something I've got to go get. It's not something that I can earn, because they are called gifts. But it's a manifestation. It's a yielding process. Everybody say yielding. So I began to get the idea, hey, the gifts of the Spirit are not something that I have to hope God sends down. If I've got the Holy Spirit, follow this. If I've got the Holy Spirit, it makes sense that everything the Holy Spirit has and is in me.
Amen.
Somebody says, oh, Brother Peoples, pray that I'll have more love. I'm not going to do it. Oh, but Brother Peoples, I just need more love. No, I'm going to pray that you will yield to the love that has been shed abroad in your heart already by the Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 5. So the love of God, the fruit of the Spirit is in you. The gifts of the Spirit, they are in us as Christians. It's simply learning how to yield our soulish realm to the things of the Spirit and manifesting, in other words, letting it be shown forth, let it be manifest, that which is in us. Now, how many of you would like to have the abilities, that is, the gifts of the Spirit, more manifesting in your life than you presently are? See, I imagine many of us in here, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or we call that the release of the Spirit, your initial step into the manifestation of the Spirit. Others may have never had that. Some of you may have prayed in tongues. Some of you may never have. Some of you have prophesied, never prayed in tongues, etc. Point being, why limit it to any of them? Why limit it to any of them? Now, let's read the list that the Apostle Paul gives, because again, you know, with some of my good Christian friends earlier on, they said, well, you know, we believe that my gift is cooking. You know, I had somebody, my gift is cooking. I said, well, praise God. You know, maybe you've got a talent and a bent for cooking, and we certainly do appreciate that, you know. But I don't believe that's the charismatic or the grace gift that's identified in the Word of God. The cooking. Hallelujah. We do appreciate that. All the men say amen.
Amen.
Okay, we do appreciate that, you know, talent. But I want you to begin with verse 8, and let's read the list as itemized by the Apostle Paul. He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given, and he begins to list them. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So you may want to mark that, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith, or we would call that the gift of faith, because faith is also listed as a fruit. But here it is a gift of faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts. Would you circle the little S there? That's plural. Gifts of healing. You see, I've been in meetings where somebody will have a real gift from the Spirit to pray for backs, and they just have a regular manifestation of backs being healed. But, you know, they can pray for your arm, and you may or may not get it. So it's not that, well, you've got all the gifts of healing if you're operating in that. Point that out. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. Working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man individually as he, mark that, as he, the Spirit, will. Now, for sake of clarity, you'll not find these phrases or categories in the Scripture, but I think it's evident. You may want to write these down. Generally, the gifts of the Spirit are broken up into three categories. Number one, the speaking gifts. The speaking gifts. The speaking gifts are the gifts that are what? Spoken or vocal. And so that would be, number one, tongues. Number two, the interpretation of tongues. And number three, prophecy. Do you see how that makes sense? I mean, that helps me arrange it and clarify it in my thinking. There are speaking gifts. And then there's the second category that's commonly identified, the revelation gifts. The revelation gifts. These are something that you know. See, the other ones are something you say. These are something you know. Number one would be what? The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. These are things that the Holy Spirit helps you to know about. And once you get that knowledge, then it's up to you to act on it and use it for your benefit and to profit you and others. And then the third category would be what is commonly called the power gifts. The power gifts would be, number one, the gift of faith. Number two, the working of miracles. And number three, gifts of healing. In other words, these are gifts that release God's power into the earth. God's power into this. Does that help you? All right, so there's the speaking gifts, there's the revelation gifts, and the power gifts. Now, somebody says, well, Brother Peebles, but look at the verse you just read. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit only, you know, divides these out as He will. Well, that is true, but that is only partially true. And I want to show you this balance because I want to clear this up. See, early on, I was so bent against the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my thinking that I didn't just start from, you know, neutral there, from the starting point. I had to catch up. And so I said, well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen, brother, this is my attitude. Brother, you know, if I'm walking down the street and the Holy Ghost tackles me and puts me in a half Nelson and wrestles me to the ground and says, here's your gift and I'll take it. Hallelujah. But as far as me cooperating or in any fashion seeking or whatever, I just believe we should seek the giver and not the gifts. Hallelujah. Look at the verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man individually as He. Everybody say as He.
As He.
Everybody say as the Spirit.
As the Spirit.
Wills. Now let me show you the balance to that. Go to chapter 14, verse 1. Certainly there is an aspect where the Holy Spirit will say, Jason, Martha, Brady, David, this is the area that I'm going to specialize you in. This is the area that I'm going to really develop you in. But to say that, well, that means that none of the others, you know, can operate in your life is not correct. Because look at verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1. It says, follow after love and what?
Desire.
Well, that was about half of you. Follow after love and what?
Desire.
So see, He certainly the Holy Spirit, as He wills, is one side of it. The other balance to that is you have an obligation to desire and to begin to yield yourself to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? He says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. The King James says, but rather. It would be a better translation to say, especially that you may prophesy. Now, as I said, I cannot go verse by verse tonight, but a casual reading of chapter 14, the Apostle Paul basically is saying this. He's saying, guys, you're out of order. You're using the gifts out of order. What I really want you to do is I want you to use the gifts of the Spirit to help your understanding. I want you to use the gifts of the Spirit not just for show, but I want your brain to gain some understanding of what the Holy Spirit's saying. It's not going to do any good if the Apostle Paul got up there for an hour and said, well, here's my message. Write that down. And underline that. And for an hour we did that, and then I say, I encourage you to get the cassette tape. Amen. Now, I'm not doing that for show, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can use them at will. But I'm trying to illustrate a point that the Apostle Paul was saying, I'm trying to get you especially, use your tongue, use your interpretation, but especially get over into prophecy because that's going to be in our known language. For us, that's English. For other countries, that'd be Spanish, etc., etc. Why? So we can profit, so that we can benefit. I was in Jacksonville, Florida at a conference not too many years ago, and I had this lady. She came up after the meeting, as you know people sometimes do. She said, Brother Peebles, I like you. I like everything about you. I like your teaching, but there's just one thing I don't like about you. And her husband, who was quite a big fellow, was standing behind her, and I couldn't read him, you know, so I was really wanting to be sure I didn't get crossed up here, you know. And she said, I like you. I like everything about you. I like your victory and your success messages, but I don't like them tongues. I said, She says, do I have to pray in tongues? Do I have to pray in tongues? And so, you know, her husband just standing there like, I thought, hallelujah. And I didn't want to, I just, you know, I felt like, you know, just don't be so rude. But I stood there for a moment. I believe I got a word of knowledge. I really did in this process. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you don't have to speak in tongues. She kind of, her body language kind of went, oh, you know, and I said, no, I said, you don't have to have love. You don't have to have joy. You don't have to have peace. I said, you don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to do anything. I saw her come back up, you know. And I said, I'll tell you what I feel the Holy Spirit's showing me. And her husband's still drilling me, you know. I said, I really believe the Holy Spirit is showing me that you are in a Bible study here in the community with other ladies that do not believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you fear people more than you fear God. And that you are afraid that if you ever did pray in the Spirit or prophesy or anything like that, and they heard about it, that you would be rejected. And so you put the fear of people above the fear of God. And her husband by this time behind her was going, that's it. Praise God, he was on my side, you know. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, really, tongues is not the issue here. I said, I would encourage you. And I was being real kind. I was not being smart alecky or rude to her. I said, I really encourage you to go home and repent. Ask God to forgive you. And I said, get your heart clear and put God before people and what they think. And tell God that you want everything that he would have for you. Because look at verse 1. It says, desire. It says, desire spiritual gifts. Let's all say this out loud. Now, for some of you, it's just going to, you know, it's going to be like horses pulling you to do it. But I hope that you'll break free and do it. Let's all say this. Lord,
I desire.
We can do a little bit better. Lord,
I desire
the gifts of your Spirit. Especially that I may prophesy. Hallelujah. That wasn't real hard, was it? Well, what does it mean to desire? You want it real bad. I know what it is when my children desire a cookie. And I'm trying to illustrate something spiritual with a natural, so forgive me, but I know what it's like when my little boy and my little girl want a cookie. They don't come in and say, Father, if it be thy will. Oh, Father, if it be thy will, put thy chocolate chip on me. And they certainly don't stand there with their hands behind their back while I rub it in their face and around in their mouth. Come on now, you eat it, son. Whether you like it or not, you eat it. Eat it. That's God. I know when they desire something. Dad, I want one of them cookies. And usually by the time I hear, Dad, I want a cookie, there's three of them already been eaten. Did you eat a cookie? No, Daddy, I didn't. There's chocolate chip all over his face. Hallelujah. Have you ever desired something? Don't look at me so holy. No, Brother Peters, we never desire a thing. Come on, ladies, you know what it is to desire that dress. Ooh, gone from preaching to meddling. The men are saying, get them. Desire. I mean, you know, when you desire something, you begin to think of ways you can get it.
Amen.
You walk through the mall and you see that dress or that jewelry or those shoes or whatever it might be. And you know, well, I don't have that much money with me, but you begin to pray in the Spirit and you interpret, charge it. discover card. Hallelujah. And you just know you've heard the voice of God. You know what it is like men, man? He wants to go fishing. He wants a fishing boat or he wants golf clubs or something like that. You know, when he desires it, he's going to figure out a way to get it. Sits down with his wife. Honey, we could pay monthly payments. You don't have to eat lunch. We can pay monthly payments. Now, this is real basic stuff, but you'd be surprised. I go around the country and I find most full gospel people, other than on Sunday morning, where they come in and maybe say a Shandai or two, you know, they are really not exercising, utilizing this profit area, this area of benefit and profit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Now, our missionary program, where we've got 40-some-odd families, was a direct result of a tongue and interpretation some years ago, where I prayed in the Spirit. God corrected me in what I was doing, or maybe a better way is adjusted me in what I was doing. I acted on that, and now we've got that missionary program up and running. Christ Fellowship has been a big part of that. I know I've heard Pastor Chuck say, tongue and interpretation and prophecy and going from the Spirit into the understanding. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learning how to go from what the Spirit is saying or praying through you, get it over into the understanding so you can get some benefit out of it. Some benefit out of it. Verse 1 again. Follow after love and... Everybody say and?
And.
Everybody say and?
And.
See, most people say, follow after love, period. Hallelujah. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, I'm going to share an observation I've made in my own life, and I hope this will help you in this realm of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you say, well, why has this been such a key to your victory, Jason? Why is this the key to your victory? Because I have learned and am learning. I've not arrived, but I have learned and I am learning to really depend on the Holy Spirit, especially when it comes to major choices or decisions. It's so easy just to do with your mind what seems right or natural or obvious. And there have been many times that as I prayed in the Spirit and asked God to speak out of my own mouth to me. See, I'm talking personal application here. I'm really not teaching the gifts of the Spirit tonight in the sense of corporate usage and the rules and regulations on that. I'm teaching that the Holy Spirit gifts want to manifest in your life for you on a daily basis. Brother Peebles, I just thought the gifts of the Holy Ghost was to help other people, not me. Well, you can't help anybody if you're defeated. How many of you have ever had a dead battery in your car? Isn't that just a wonderful experience? You go out there and the first thing, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No, you don't do that. What do? You get on the phone and you call somebody. You call around the neighborhood, you call the garage, and you ask them this question. Do you have another dead battery that you could bring over? Is that what you do? Because you just know if we could get the two dead batteries together, life might come forth. No, you find somebody with a charged up battery. Everybody say, I find
another
charged battery. Why? Because you're going to jump life, energy, from the charged battery to the drained battery. Well, if we can live in this realm, we can walk around with our soulish realm charged. Did you hear me? Our soulish realm charged. I don't need to charge my spirit man. My spirit man's got the Holy Ghost living in him. My spirit man is not the problem. It's my mind, my will, my emotions, my thoughts, that's the battery that gets drained. And as I pray in the Spirit, as I prophesy, as I interpret to myself throughout the day, there is a motivational edification factor that causes me to be charged up. So when I come in touch with somebody with a drained battery, it's zzzz, and they go away feeling better. And I can help, you know, them maybe make a decision. And so it's not only profited me, it's profited them. Are you getting anything out of this? But the observation is this. I have observed, and I want you to write this down. I really had never heard anybody taught this, teach this. I've just discovered it through observation. I'm not saying that to sound, you know, like I know something everybody else doesn't know. But I've observed this in my life, and write this in some fashion in your notes. If you use the speaking gifts, they will generally take you to a revelation gift. Think about that. I mean, if you prophesy, you end up with some information. Or if you pray in tongues and interpret, you end up with some information. Generally, that information will be one of the revelation gifts. The speaking gifts will hop you over to the revelation gifts. You'll end up with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or a discerning of spirits. Now follow this. If you will now act on that information that is now revelation, it's going to usually jump you over to one of the power gifts where you're either going to have a gift of faith rise up in you for something, or you're going to have a working of miracles, or you might have the gifts of healing manifest through you. But the speaking gifts work in conjunction with the revelation gifts that will then take you over to the power gifts. So people, you know, it's really, I mean, it can happen. And, you know, thank God for people. I know there's people that don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in praying in tongues. I'm not saying they can't hear God. I'm not saying they can't be used by God. There's some mighty men and women that are in that category. But I don't want to limit it. I don't know about them. But I don't want to say, well, I just want this from God and that from God. Rip that page out. I want everything God has.
Amen.
See? But I'll give you an example in my own life. About a year ago, maybe 12 months ago, some months ago, I was preparing to go on a trip. I believe it was out to Kansas, out to the west area there. and going to go on my airplane. So as my habit was, I was at the airport, you know, checking the airplane, check little things that most people wouldn't notice. I want to make sure. I mean, I'm going to get an airplane, right? So I want to make sure it's doing fine. And so I get out there and, you know, checking this, checking that, look at the engine, look at this, you know. And as I was just walking around, just in that habit of personal praise and worship, remember last night? Personal praise and worship. I was just doing little psalms, little hymns, little spiritual singing, hallelujah. Whose report shall you believe? I said, I shall believe the report of the Lord. Yeah, Tara looks all right. Mm-hmm. I said, whose report shall you believe? Oh, it looks all right. We shall believe his report says I am healed. Yes, healed, healed, healed. Go Hollywood with this stuff, praise God. Just live this way. Driving your car. It's not just a service. It's not a worship service that comes at 11. It's a lifestyle. And I was walking around and I began to pray in tongues a little bit. I actually got fanatical. And all of a sudden, something started popping up in my brain. See, tongues is not just for your brain to turn off. Tongues, it sounds opposite, really. Somebody says, well, why would that help you if you don't understand what you're saying? The point is, tongues helps your brain catch up with the Spirit. Amen. You need to write that down. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, will help your brain catch up, if I could use that, catch up with what the Spirit already knows. See, the spirit man, he's in there going, I know what to do. I know all about you. I'm the man with a plan. I'm the man with a plan. Man, he's in there. Listen, the Holy Ghost, how many of you ever believe the Holy Ghost gets confused? You ever think the Holy Ghost has a bad day? Does the Holy Ghost ever go, man, you know, this is a rotten day, I'm telling you. In all creation, I've never seen a day like this. The Holy Ghost never gets depressed. He never says, Jason, man, you know, you're... I don't see any hope for you. I mean, I usually know what to do, but we're going to have to check with headquarters on this one. I mean, the Holy Ghost, everybody say, the Holy Ghost, knows. That's a pretty simple premise that I use. The Holy Ghost knows. And so the Holy Spirit, through tongue, and then eventually interpretation prophecy, was trying to get up to my brain with some vital information. And I just had this... lack of peace. Many times the Holy Spirit will communicate to you just a lack of peace. I felt disturbance. And it wasn't a feeling as much as a sense. If I'm trying to describe this, just a sense that something wasn't right about the airplane. Now, there's plenty of times I have those thoughts run through my mind, but it was more than a thought. It was an impression, a witness, a sense from the Spirit. Something's not right. You need to get the airplane checked for this before this trip. And so it just so happened. Everybody say it just so happened. I want to tell you, when you get in the flow of the Holy Ghost, the just so happens will start happening. It just so happened that the guy who keeps my airplane and keeps it up and everything, he drove by in his truck, and I hollered at him, Dan, get over here. And he came over and he said, what's up? I said, well, I'm getting ready to go on a long trip, and I'd like for you to check the airplane over. Well, what do you think's wrong? Now, folks, use some wisdom. Amen? There's no need for you to say, well, Dan, I was just standing here speaking in unknown tongues. I really was. And I just had the Holy Ghost percolate up right in my brain. I sure did. Folks, use a little wisdom, amen. I don't know the man's spiritual state, you know. And I'm out there trying to get him baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want my airplane fixed. And so I said, I don't really know, but I'd like you to just take the airplane and check it over. Okay. I went my way. He went his way. He called me that afternoon. Ring, ring, ring. Here. Jason, you need to come over here and look at this. I said, what is it, Dan? He said, you need to come over here and look at this. I said, well, Dan, what is it? You need to come over here and look at this. I said, I'll be able to go over there and look at that. So I drove over there, and he had the cowling off of the engine, and the engine was exposed and everything. Now, here's the engine, right? Everybody say, I see the engine. Right, there's the engine. And it's just like in a car. The engine has exhaust pipes coming off of it, and, of course, it goes out the back of the exhaust. What do you call that? The exhaust manifold. Thank you, brothers. And so I went there, and on one side, the exhaust stacks. Now, these exhaust stacks hook right on to the cylinders where the combustion's taking place. The exhaust stack was just hanging. It was broken, just hanging off. Well, what does that mean, Brother Peebles? It means that when the engine is going, the white, red-hot fire and combustion is not being channeled through the pipes. It's just shooting straight out of the engine on the inside of your airplane. Well, what does that mean? It means you can have a fire at 8,000 feet. That's what that means. Well, is that a problem? It sure is if you're up there. Can't you just pull over? Not at 8,000 feet. It's not advisable, praise God. And so Everybody say the Holy Ghost knows.
The Holy Ghost.
And so, you know, he said, what you want to do about it? Praise God, I can't thank everybody. We're going to fix it. So we're going to fix it. He said, no, I don't mean that. He said, well, how are we going to fix it? We got the cheap way and the expensive way. He said, I believe we can weld those pipes back together. He said, or we can order a brand new exhaust stack, and it's about $600 per side, plus labor on top of that. He said, what do you want to do? I said, I want you to order two, because they're both the same age. I said, two brand new exhaust stacks, have them Federal Expressed overnight, put them on, and I said, I'll be ready for my trip. And I had it fixed, and I went on my way. I actually had somebody after trip come up. Brother Peebles, I just believe you could have been a good steward of God's money there. I said, I'll tell you what. If you're flying an airplane, we'll be a good steward of God's money. We'll weld that sucker. I said, if I'm flying in that airplane, we're going to put a brand new one on it. Somebody say amen. And so I went on my way. And I'm just giving that one little illustration to point out the least that would have happened would have been an inconvenience from that. If I had not discovered that, had have taken off of that, the least would have been landed in some farmer's field somewhere. He was dropping in for lunch or something. The worst that would have happened is you would not be at this conference. The Holy Ghost knows. And I could go through time after time after time. Now, the majority of the times that I pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, interpret what the Spirit is saying, or prophesy, the majority of the time, write this down, it's simple edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'd say 90% of the time, and obviously this is not scientific, but the vast majority, 90% of the time, it's not something that the Holy Spirit, yay, my son, yay, my daughter, move to Alaska, Eskimos for Christ Incorporated, yay. And then a week later, you know, you get another word, now, yay, go to Argentina, Argentina. We call those people spooky Christians, goofy Christians. And God gets a bad name because they go around every week announcing some big new thing that they think the Holy Ghost has told them, and that God's not that confused. So most of the time it's edification, exhortation, and comfort that we're going to read about shortly. But there are those critical moments in your life where you must make a choice, a major decision, where if you don't know how to hear the Spirit in this fashion, then it's going to be more difficult for you to apprehend that which the Spirit is trying to show you. Now let's read on. Verse 2. Chapter 14, verse 2. Are you getting anything?
Yep.
1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You ought to mark that. You're speaking unto God. Now, that obviously is without interpretation. If you interpret it, then God can speak to men through it. So don't limit it in that fashion. We don't have time to go over there, but you may want to put a little mark in your Bible. You can find that in verse 21. God does use tongues to speak to men if it's interpreted. But generally it's unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. Everybody say in the Spirit. Now I want you to see that phrase, because he's linking up praying in tongues with something he calls in the Spirit. He says, however, in the Spirit, mark this, he speaks mysteries. Would you say mysteries? Now, when I was out there looking at that airplane, it was a mystery to my understanding that there was something wrong with that engine. Have you ever watched that movie? It's pretty interesting, called Unsolved Mysteries. And what they'll do is they'll show you, you know, the event, and they can't figure it out. And then they'll suggest some things. And then they might come back and report how it was solved, and they figured it out. Well, that's the gist here, is tongues helps us pray about things that are mysteries to our mind. Why would we want to do that? Because my mind is limited. I don't know everything. The Holy Ghost knows, but I don't know. You must concede this much. Whether you have a master's degree or a PhD degree or three PhD degrees, you don't know everything there is in the universe to know. But the greater one lives in you if you are a Christian. And he's endeavoring to take the mind of Christ, what's called the mind of God, the information, the perspective of God, and birth that into your understanding, hallelujah, so we can walk on a different level than what the world walks on. Now, I want that. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want to live supernaturally. not just super and not just natural. I want to live supernaturally. He says he'll pray mysteries. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaks unto men. See, because prophecy, instead of going from the unknown tongue to the interpretation route, prophecy is just straightforward. For us, it'd be in English or Spanish or whatever language you may know. It says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. Now mark these three things. Edification. Everybody say edification.
Edification.
Everybody say exhortation.
Edification.
Everybody say comfort.
Comfort.
Now that ought to tell you what's true prophecy and what's not true prophecy. I actually saw this about 10 years ago. A billboard that was advertising, come here, prophet so-and-so. A ministry of condemnation. I'm serious. It says, come here, prophet so-and-so, a ministry of condemnation. And they sit you in the hot chair and they just speak, yeah, thou art ugly, thou art destroyed, yeah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And people go away, thank God, hallelujah. God may come and correct you. God may come and chastise you. God may come and spank you, but like any good father or mother, if he comes to do it, he's going to leave you edified, comforted, and exhorted, and pointed in the right direction. He's not coming in to slice you and cut you and destroy you.
Amen.
And we're living in a prophetic time, and I realize there is a genuine prophetic movement, but I must balance that with this. God's best is for you to hear his voice for yourself.
Amen.
God's best is not for you to walk around with 25 cassette tapes on what Prophet so-and-so said about you, and you're living your whole life by somebody else's agenda.
Come on.
Now, God will speak through prophets. God speaks through prophecy. I know that. I've spoken over people. People have spoken over me. But the balance of it all is this. God's best is for you to hear God for yourself. It's like a father or mother raising a child. I'm helping my child. I speak into their lives. But dear God, by the time they're 40, I hope I'm not saying, now it's time to go get your clothes on. Now, go brush. I told you to brush your teeth. Go do it. The one that's left in your head. Go do it. You know, you're 80 years old. Go floss. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? The point is, you need to grow up. Everybody say, grow up. Verse 4. This is good preaching. Hallelujah. Verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. How many of you believe God wants you to be edified? Again, we'll get back to the battery. God, tongues helps charge your battery. Even without interpretation. I'm not teaching that every time you pray in tongues, you've got to interpret. But there is a place for it. Many times I'll just pray or sing in the Spirit, and there's an edification, there's a glory, the presence of God that comes upon me. But let's don't just stop there. Let's go on and begin to get into the understanding. Remember verse 1. Especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. Now, somebody says, well, brother Peebles, that sounds real fine and everything, but still, I might desire those gifts, but there's no guarantee God's going to give me those gifts. Well, I've got good news for you, if you can receive it. God has plainly told us in His Word that the speaking gifts are for every single believer. I said the speaking gifts are for every single believer. I call it the starter kit. Hallelujah. Get the starter kit. How do I know that? Just go to verse 31. That'll tell you something. Verse 31. Hop over there. It says, for you may some of you prophesy. Is that what yours says? Now, prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And if you have the premise that, well, only, you know, certain people prophesy and only certain people speak in tongues, only certain people do this, then you got a problem here, because verse 31 says, for you may all, everybody say all.
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
Means?
All.
All. Say it again. All.
All.
Means?
All.
All. He says in verse 31, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. So, point being is this. Yes, the Holy Spirit will come and lay His hands on some like Pastor Chuck and say, I am going to develop you not only in the general gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to put a calling upon your life where you're going to be a specialist. You're going to be a pastor. You're called to be a pastor. God's going to come and put His hand and His call upon somebody like David and say, yes, all the gifts of the Spirit are in you and available, but I am, by my will and by my choice, calling you to be a psalmist unto the Lord and to be an instructor, to have a school, to train others and send them around the world with the fire of God burning in their bones. Amen. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Now, I want to close by just sharing just a little bit on the ability to interpret our prayer language. Because again, see, I went to Oral Roberts University. I prayed in the Holy Spirit, got baptized in the Holy Spirit at a place called Georgia Southern College. You ever heard of that? Statesboro, Georgia. And you know, I was just praying in tongues, singing in tongues. I kind of had that breakthrough out of that bent against it. And I'd never heard of interpreting in tongues. And then I'd get out there at Oral Roberts University, and Chuck will remember this. David will remember this. Those of us. Oral would come out on the stage periodically. You know, big old bushy eyebrows. But big guy, you know, big old hands. And he'd say, student. Pray in the Spirit. Oh, let's just pray in the Spirit. And they go, stop. Now interpret. Interpret what God's saying. And I'd sit there and go, interpret. I go, I have no idea what chemosabi or whatever you're saying. I have no idea what I'm saying, man. I can't even pass Spanish, much less interpret something I don't know. And I'm just being as honest as I know how to be. For about the first 2 years, I thought, well, some got it, some don't. I don't. I thought, well, there's Oral Roberts, there's Billy Graham, there's the rest of us. And Oral would stand up there and try to teach on interpretation, and it was just like, and now I was driving down the road. Some of you heard this story. I was driving down the true story. Driving down the road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 70 miles an hour. They had not changed the speed limit, so don't judge me. 70 miles an hour. I had an LTD, big old boat. Man, those cars were big back then. You know, 99 gallons of gasoline. I was driving down, and I was just singing to the Lord. Just like I usually did, you know. Singing in the Spirit, singing a few hymns. Now, listen, you will become like what you hang around.